It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
You are tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. Miss Monica is spending time in grandma mode with her grandson for the first time since he got to go back and live with his mama. So my daughter Josie's running the iPad this morning, and our guest this morning is Pastor Kevin Akins. How
good
are
morning.
You doing?
Hey, doing great. Ready to go.
Ready to go. If you have a prayer request or a praise report, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to ourpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can also comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. Our sponsor today is Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln in Elk City. We do record in two parts. And I will do my best to get that uploaded to the website as soon as the program has ended. If you would like a entry onto our book blessing wheel for the month of July, all you got to do is like, share, and comment on the Facebook page. Our book is called Flickering Lamps, Christ and His Church by Henry and Richard Blackaby. Pastor Tim Patterson donated that book for us for the giveaway. I think I covered it all.
You're doing good. I have no idea.
Would you like to pray to get us started?
Absolutely. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you today. Lord, I just ask you that the Holy Spirit just be released across this land in a very powerful way, ministering to every heart and every mind, every person that is out there. I pray today, Lord, that in this message that you would bring about such an authority of your word that it begins to make a declaration that changes lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I like your title.
Amen. That's just the beginning of it. Yeah. Are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
Hey, listen, I reached back into my files. This is actually an older message. I probably wrote this message way back in the early 2000, and I've preached it several times. So if you've heard it, hey, fantastic. Just call it a repeat, whatever you want to do. But I was once told that a sermon that is written is just a sermon that is written, and that's what it is. It's just a sermon. Anyone can write a sermon. Anybody can write that speech that's got to take place. But until you preach that sermon and really get the feeling of that sermon and really get the essence of what the message is behind that sermon, it remains a sermon until you preach it a number of times. And then after that, it becomes a message. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping today that this is a message for somebody and not just a sermon that's pulled out of the books. I couldn't get away from it. The minute Neva called me, the very minute she called me, this sermon just popped into my head. And so I want to take off. I'm going to be looking at two different passages of Scripture and several individual verses. So if you've got your Bible handy and you're ready for a little bit of a Bible a program this morning, Bible study this morning, that's what we're going to do. But we're going to begin with 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And beginning at verse number 3, and if I mention that title, Strongholds, again, some of you should have automatically said 2 Corinthians 10. It's just that verse of Scripture that Jesus gave us, that Paul gave us through the words of Christ, that says, man, this makes such a difference. It reads this way. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." When I look at that passage of Scripture, something jumps out at me very clearly. And that is that it's got to be a process of the mind. This has got to be a thinking problem. And that's where strongholds come into so often. The battle is in our mind. And that's where we really clash with other things. Satan, and I agree with Sister Judy Gifford so much that we shouldn't give Satan credit. You know, he doesn't deserve credit, but we're not ignorant of his devices either. And I can tell you that Satan has three major weapons that he uses constantly. He is, without a doubt, the tempter. We see that in Matthew chapter 4. He even had the access to tempt Jesus to change over to do things. And you can see in all three of those temptations, he is battling with Jesus's process of thinking, the thinking manner. The second weapon that he uses constantly is he is the accuser. He constantly sets up accusations. He throws blame at everything that he can. You can find it even in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. He is the accuser of the brethren, and he stands before the throne of God accusing the brethren constantly. Revelation chapter 12. His third weapon is even a greater weapon as well. It is he is the deceiver. John chapter 8, verse 44 tells us that there is no truth found in the devil at all. He is the father of all lies. He is a liar. And that deception creates a format in people's minds today that we begin to question ourselves until we're actually living in an act of deception. Three of these weapons, they all bring about the very same result. They all come against you in the very same way. They produce what we would call strongholds in your mind. Let me give you a definition of stronghold. If your pencil, paper's handy, you're taking notes, you're going to want to write this down. It's very enlightening. It's going to make a difference in your life. Definition of stronghold. It is a hold that is strong. Did you get that? Did you have trouble writing that down? You got to get that in your mindset. Here it is really, though. If you want to look up the terminology of stronghold and what it is a mindset that causes you to accept a circumstance as unchangeable, even though you know it's contrary to the Word of God. Let me say it for you one more time. I want you to get it today. This is when you learn this definition of stronghold, it makes such a difference. This is why the devil loves to get a stronghold in your mind. A stronghold is a mindset that causes you to accept situations as unchangeable, even though you know that it's contrary to the will of God. You know God can heal, but yet you'll accept your disease as that's a lifestyle. No, it's a stronghold in your mind. Well, today I want to bring to you this definition of stronghold from the perspective of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, but I want to bring it together with a story that took place in the Old Testament. So here's the second passage of Scripture. If you don't mind, take your Bibles with me and let's go to Joshua chapter 10. In Joshua chapter 10, we see the story of a great battle that's going on. Read the story for yourself. The sun stands still. That would be the moon would stand still. That means the earth would stand still, wouldn't it? So it's a great story in Joshua chapter 10. In verse number 22, earlier in 20, we can find out that the battle is raging on, but in the midst of the battle, these five kings that are in charge of all these kingdoms, and I'm not going to describe all to them, to you, but these kings, they let their men continue to fight, but the five kings, they go hide themselves in the caves of a place that's called Makkedah, actually, and these caves of Makkedah are deep caves, and they are carved out caves, and they are used for meditation and deep thinking. They are used for people that want to, the monks that want to go in and sit and just meditate and think about their life and think about things going on. It's a place of deep thinking. It's what Makkedah stands for. Now listen to this. In Joshua chapter 10, verse 24, it was when they brought out those kings to Joshua that Joshua called for all the men of Israel. So he said to them, he said, bring out all these kings. He called for the men of war. He called for the men of Israel. And he said to the captains of the men of war who went with him. Now just think about where you stand today. Are you a captain in your war? Are you a captain over your battles? These strongholds that are coming against us, these things that hold us down and hold us back. You're a man of war going into this. Look at what he said. Joshua called for the men of war, the captains of war, and he said, come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings. And they drew near, and they put their feet on their necks. Then Joshua said to them, "Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against who you fight." God's going to take care of this. Remember what it said in 2 Corinthians? We don't fight this with flesh. We're not doing this with carnal warfare. This is mighty through God that he can pull down strongholds. It's God that takes care of it, but you're still the man of war. You're still the captain of your battle. You're still in charge of your battle. You're in charge of it. So Joshua says, as long as you're in charge of that, come on. In verse 22 of that same Joshua chapter 10, verse 22, Joshua said, "Open the cave, bring out the kings that have hidden themselves in that cave of Makeda." This is the place of deep thought. He said, bring those kings out. So this morning, we're going to look at five different kings that become strongholds in your mind. These kings have got to come out of your mind. We've battled with this constantly over and over. These kings create strongholds. They begin to affect your life through temptation. They affect your life with accusation. They affect your life through deception. You cannot just sweep this under the rug. You cannot just think that it's going to destroy itself. These kings are setting in your mind, trying to convince you that there's no way to change the circumstances at hand, when all along you know that that's not God's will for your life, but you end up accepting it and going on. Let me give you an example. First of all, though, before I give you the first example, I want to reiterate one more time, definition of stronghold. A stronghold is a mindset that causes you to accept your circumstance as unchangeable, even though you know that's contrary to the will of God. You're going to have circumstances, but you do not have to accept them as unchangeable. Let's call out these five kings. Let's look at each one of these kings little by little. Let's see what they have in store. Why are they such a stronghold in our mind? The first stronghold, the first king that we've got to call out, that we've got to pull down, is a king of failure. This king of failure seems to ride in people's minds. They get told as a little kid, you're no good, you're worthless. It's the dominating effect that happens so often in marriages, because marriage, they feel like they're locked together, but yet one wants to dominate over the other. And the only way that they can really dominate is when they begin to manipulate, and they begin to intimidate, and they begin to strike this fear into the other person's heart. And it's not so much the fear, and I'll deal with him in just a minute, but it's failure that gets them. They think that they can't make it. They think that they can't win. They think that they can't complete it. And this spirit of failure is creeping even across our nation today, to where nobody wants to do anything. Now, I get it. It's a good policy to find out what you're good at and then stay with what you're good at. Whatever it may be, stay with it. Hold on to it. But there's another thing that says that we need to stretch out, learn more. Let wisdom continue to grow in you. You're not a failure. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul said, you need to be confident of this very thing, that he, Jesus, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Be confident of this very thing. Failure creates this mindset that says you're not confident in anything that you do. You're just living life, just little by little going along the way. You need to have that confidence that lingers in you that says you are able to accomplish. Philippians 4:13. Oh, come on now. I don't have to quote that one to you. Sure be able to ring it out in your head. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ is your strength. Christ is your stronghold in your mind that you want to hold on to. Don't give the kings ground. You're not a failure. It doesn't matter how many times your teacher tells you that you're a failure or you're no good. That's not true. It's a lie. Christ made you. Be confident of what's inside of you. I love this one. I'll give you one more. 1 Corinthians 15:57. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I got to tell you, victory is yours. Satan has already been defeated. He's not any stronger today than he's ever been before. He doesn't gain strength the more he gets. He doesn't gain strength with the more people that he gets on his side. Satan is not any stronger than he's ever been. And just as much as others have had victories before you, you have the right to have victories today. Victory is ours, says the Lord. It's time to stand up and proclaim that victory. I am not a failure. I may not be able to do what everybody else does, but I'm able to do what God asked me to do. God would never ask you to do something that He hasn't already prepared for you to do. You're not a failure. Get that mindset out of your head. Call that king of failure out of that cave. Tell him to put his ugly head on the ground, put your feet on his neck, and declare, I will not be afraid, nor will I be dismayed, but I will be strong and of good courage, for the Lord my God will do this to all the enemies against whom I fight today. King of failure, you're out of here. You're not going to rule in my life anymore. I'm going to be victorious, not a failure. You understand where I'm going now? We got four more kings in there. Let's go get them. What do you say? All right. The second king that we want to pull out of that cave, out of that deep thought of mine, the second king also stands right up at the front, and he is the king of frustration. Do you know this king of frustration is dominating in this world today? I can list for you so many things that just bring about frustration. I can't tell you how many people as a pastor, how many people that I talk to and counsel today that they want to tell me, I'm just frustrated. I'm just frustrated with the whole thing. I'm frustrated with my job. I'm frustrated with my family. I'm frustrated with my finances. I'm frustrated with my health. I'm frustrated with I-40. Anybody driven to the city lately? Anybody waited for the road construction lately? Anybody else got frustrated with it? See what I'm talking about? It's so easy to get frustration locked into your mind to where if you're not careful, you're frustrated about everything that comes on. This is why it's such a king or a stronghold of frustration is in our mind today, because it doesn't settle on just one. If you're frustrated with one thing in the morning, you will be frustrated with many things throughout the day. If the coffee doesn't taste right, nothing's going to taste right. It's just the way that it is. We get frustrated. If you get frustrated with your kids right off the bat in the morning, you'll still be frustrated with them in the evening time when they're not wanting to settle down or not wanting to do what you want them to do. If they don't mind the least little thing that you command them to do, then boom, more frustration happens. Frustration is a king that wants to continually dominate on all of your cares, all your worries, all your concerns, all of your life. But listen, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. All of your care, all of it, all of it. But we have a tendency to just give him part of it, just give him some of it. I had this thought one day, and I don't know if I can make sense of it. I don't know if you can really grasp what I'm trying to say. But we're told in the Bible to cast all of our care upon God. But if we don't cast all of our care, if we don't share all of our care with God, isn't that in some way making us feel like I don't trust God with all my care, or I don't know if I can depend on God with all my care, I don't know if God can deal with all my... Isn't that belittling God? Isn't that making God look like a small God? Listen, I don't serve a small God, and I hope that you don't serve a small God. We serve a great, big, wonderful, mighty God. I go back to the scripture in 2 Corinthians where it says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captivity. Listen, we're not fighting this with carnal warfare. Weapons. We're fighting this through the mighty power of God. We have a mighty God that can make a huge difference in our life. Cast your care upon Him and don't let that frustration override everything in your life. I'll give you another one. Romans 16:20. I love this scripture. This ought to just ring out in your head. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. I love it. For the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. He's going to put him underneath you. You still got to step on him. It's calling that king of frustration out of your mind. Put him underneath your feet. Put your foot on his neck. Make that declaration that is always just like what Joshua said. I will not be afraid of frustration. I'm not afraid of getting a little upset. I'm not afraid of saying, hold on a minute. This has got to stop. This ain't working. Wait just a second. Who's going to get the ultimate authority over this? I'm not a failure, and I'm not going to live in frustration. For the mighty power of God is on my side today. I want to share this with you, and this is a truth that I learned a long time ago. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to write this down because it makes so much sense. When nothing's going right, it just brings about stress inside of you, which is unhealthy in every form. It just brings a stress in your mindset. It'll bring a stress on your relationships. It'll bring a stress on your connections. It'll bring a stress on your wisdom, your thinking, your job, your responsibilities. Just this whole frustration brings about this stress. But where it happens, where does stress come from? Where does frustration come from? Frustration generally comes from confusion because you don't know exactly what's happening. You don't know what the root is. You don't know why. If you get frustrated because the coffee don't taste right, there's probably a reason. You only put 2 scoops in instead of 4. So now you're just drinking hot water. You know, it's just not right. And then so why get frustrated over? Pour that out and fix you a new pot of coffee and go on about a good day. But no, instead, we'd rather live in that frustration. This king of frustration's got to come out. Confusion creates frustration. Frustration stimulates anger, and anger will ruin your day. You could word it this way. You could say confusion creates frustration. Frustration stimulates anger, and there's nothing godly about it. Frustration is just another piece of the puzzle that's stemming from confusion and is heading towards anger. Frustration is a buildup. It's a gateway, if you will. It's just going to produce something else. So we've got to get that king of frustration out of our mind and say, I'm not living this way. I'm not staying in frustration. Frustration's got to go. So how about helping me? Call him out of there. King of frustration, come out of my mind. King of frustration, come out of the king. Out of the cave. King of frustration, get out here. I put my foot on your neck today. I will not be afraid, nor will I be dismayed. I will be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all my enemies against whom I fight. And king of frustration, you're out. The third king of frustration, the third stronghold that we've got to deal with, that we got to bring down, is the king of fear. I don't need to touch on this one very much. I don't need to linger on this one very long. Fear just dominates in people's lives. You know, in 1999, Reader's Digest wrote a large article about the 99 phobias that dominate people's lives. And the number 9, and that's how I remember it, is 1999, 99 phobias, and number 9. You know what the number 9th phobia was in the list? It was called a phobophobia, a fear of being afraid. They feel like they're going to be afraid that something else is going to happen behind the closed doors. They're just afraid of being afraid all the time. They walk in that fear. But if you know anything about the Bible, I'm going to give you a scripture that you have heard over and over again. You know this one, 2 Timothy 1:7. You got to know where I'm going. You got to think about this, 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Think about that first line alone. First line alone. You're afraid that your relationship's going to dissolve. You're afraid that you're not going to have enough finances. You're afraid that you're going to catch some sickness, disease. You're afraid that they're not going to like you anymore. You're afraid that you're not going to be accepted. You're afraid. You're afraid. You're afraid. You're afraid. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now, I can preach on this verse alone for over an hour, I promise you, but I won't, not this morning. God has given us a spirit of fear. He has not given us a spirit of fear. He has not put that fear inside of you. That king of fear in your mind doesn't belong there. It's not from God. God didn't give you a spirit of fear. He gave you one of power, love, and a sound mind. I just, when you read just that scripture alone, God has not given you a spirit of fear to stick into your brain so that you're afraid of what people are going to think about you. You're afraid of that you're not going to match what everybody else is wearing today. You're afraid of your hair being messed up. You're afraid of being received. You're afraid of being exited out. You're so much fear, not from God. God's given you power, love, and a sound mind that changes things. I had a dear friend of mine years ago that a little lady, older lady of our church, just as blind. She had lost her eyesight, couldn't see shadows. She couldn't see anything. But she lived alone in her own house that she had lived in for many, many, many years. And she functioned just fine inside her house. Don't move the furniture. Don't move anything. She functioned just fine. And she would walk down to the church. She only lived about a half block away from the church. She'd walk to the church every Sunday morning. One Sunday morning, she didn't show up at church, which raised great concerns. And so I thought, the final amen, God bless y'all. Y'all have a good Sunday. And I headed down there. I wanted to see if she was okay. And I knocked on her door, and a young man answered the door. Pretty good strapping young man. He's about 6 foot tall, good and healthy man. And I said, hello. I didn't realize that Sister Sims had company today. And he said, oh, I'm not her company. I'm her robber. And I went, do what? And he's like, oh, I came in here to rob her, but this lady's blessed me and led me to some man named Jesus. And I was like, what? And he broke into her house apparently to rob her. She heard him talking on the phone. She got up and she said, what are you doing in my house? And he said, well, I'm just going to borrow your phone. And she said, okay, I'll fix your breakfast. So she fixed him breakfast. He never knew that she was blind for a long time. And he thought he was already caught and captured. And she held a Bible out, made him read scriptures. She said, I can't see. I've lost my glasses. So here, you read this. And she led him to the Lord. Now we have a choice. We can be super fearful of anything. That situation, I get it. It would strike fear in many people. But this lady, I remember on her final day, I spoke a service that I said she was not bound by fear. She didn't fear anything. She would take off walking to the church. She didn't care if it snowed or hot. It didn't matter. She didn't care if somebody came into her house. She didn't care. She had no fear. She had power, love, and a sound mind. And that's what makes a difference. If you are living under the king of fear, just switch it. Love more people than you've ever loved before. Love what you've never loved and been able to love. Have power in your life. Speak the name of Jesus. Have faith in Jesus. That brings the power in the name and in the faith of Jesus. Have a sound mind. Know what you're thinking. Know the truth of the matter. Don't live with the fear. So let's call the king of fear out. Let's call him out. Right now, let's get him out of that cave. King of fear, get out here. Put your head on the ground. I will not be dominated or manipulated by the king of fear anymore. I'm not going to be held bondage by the king of fear anymore. He's not going to have a stronghold in my mind. He's not going to rule. He's not going to be a king. Put your head on the ground. I'm going to put my foot on your neck, and I will declare, I will not be afraid. I will not fear. Nor will I be dismayed. I will be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all the enemies against whom I fight. Now that's three that's gotten out of the cave. I got two more to go. Y'all stay with me a little bit, but I think right now is a good time that we go to the Lord in prayer.
Miss Neva sent us a request this morning for Carter Ripto, who had a four-wheeler accident this week. He has two broken bones in his right arm. And let's pray. Continue to pray for Monica's sister, Renee. She's been in the hospital at OU with some issues going on. I don't know if they've gotten to the bottom of them, but she commented and said she's waiting to see if she gets to go home today.
All right, so let's pray for Monica's sister first. Father God, we just bring Monica's sister to you today. Lord, we know that there's complications and there's different things that are going on, but we don't know everything, and we're certainly not in charge. You are. So, God, we just speak that favor right now over her life. We pray, Lord, that you would just flow through her with your precious anointing of the Holy Spirit and just begin to recreate, reform, re-nourish, whatever needs to be done, bring healing to that body today. God, I pray that you would also give her the power of pulling down the strongholds that seem to dominate. Father, I pray today a supernatural blessing in her life. Father God, I pray for Carter Ripto. He's had this four-wheeler accident, and he has broken bones in his arm. God, I just pray for complete healing in those bones. I pray for direct healing in those bones, that they grow back straight the way that they're supposed to. There doesn't have to be metal plates or anything in that body. Father, I pray that that foreign substance in that body's got to go. It's got to be out of there. So, Lord, I pray that you create the bonding between those bones together and let them grow back strong in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sarah, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.